Good morning. Be making your way to your seats. Good to see a lot of people here that if you ate turkey, as a lot of us did over the weekend, you don't have so much of that chemical in you that you're asleep this morning. Good to hear your fellowship. We appreciate each of you being here, those who are present with us in person, and those of you who may be traveling or away and still worshiping with us online. We thank you very much. We've just been through Thanksgiving. It somehow seems to get lost a lot with Black Friday and the pushing of Christmas merchandise the day before before Thanksgiving either. But it is a time in this country in which we express our thanks to God for the many blessings he has. But we need to remember that it's not one day is not enough. What if God only blessed us one day of the year? And then we realize God blesses us every day of the year. Every time we wake up and enter a new day, we're being blessed by God. And we need to be thankful for that. Nothing feels better when you've done something for someone to simply say thank you. And we need to always be thankful to God for the blessings he gives us each day. So as we begin our worship this morning, I want us to read the first few verses of Psalms 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, a king above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his, the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. Let us worship God with thanksgiving in our hearts as we begin with song.
I will call on the Lord.
Next hymn is number 62, I Exalt Thee. go to our Father in prayer, we will sing number 68, Give Thanks.
Give thanks to the grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks to the grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong.
Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. You are so awesome, Lord, and we are in awe. Lord, this season of Thanksgiving and this season of celebration, Father, we have so many things to thank you for. You bless us, you protect us, you lead us, you guide us. Lord, we are saved through your grace, and Father, all because of Jesus. We are so thankful. Lord, as we're here today, there are many, many that we offer our prayers up for. Lord, we are so thankful for this church and its leaders. We are so thankful for the works that are done in your name. We are so thankful for being able to feed and teach and encourage and help. Lord, we are so thankful to be able to give hope. And Lord, we are so thankful when it is the hope that is given to us. Lord, we thank you. We are so blessed. And Lord, as we sing, as we pray, as we learn, as we worship today, it is all done to glorify you, to glorify Christ, and to express gratitude. Lord, as we are here today, there are many things that we appreciate. And Father, all things that we do today, let us glorify you. In Christ's name, amen.
Before the scripture reading and Tim brings us the lesson, let's stand and sing 448, The Greatest Commands.
Thank you.
Be seated, please. Our invitation hymn this morning will be 907, Hark the Gentle Voice.
Children may now be dismissed to the training class. Scripture for this morning is taken from Colossians 1, verses 9 through 14. Colossians 1, verses 9 through 14. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing the knowledge of God, being strengthened with power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins.
I still have goosebumps from that song we just sang, God is Love. What a wonderful song that is, and what a powerful song it is. Part of that power is you sing it really well. That was really good. I loved it. But I'll have to say the greatest part of that song is it's true. God is love. And if you don't get anything else out of today's worship service, get this. God is love. He can be severe at times. We see that in the Bible. He can be very stern, but he wants to love us. He does love us, and he wants to shower us with the best gifts. The problem is we don't always let him. And so this morning, let's determine that whatever it takes, we're going to let God bless us, because his blessings are just so much better than anything this world can give us, and we want to have that home in heaven as well. So we're just thankful to start out our worship service with such power and such promise, and we're glad you're with us today. I see a lot of visitors with us today, a lot of family members who have come in for the holidays. I see a lot of people that are passing through, perhaps. We're glad you're here with us. We've got, we're just really happy you chose to be with us this morning. I'd like to mention several, but I don't want to overlook anybody, so I'll just say, glad you're here. And all of you regulars, we're glad you're here with us as well. A lot of our people are doing the same thing. They're traveling, but you're here, and we're thankful for that, and it's just so good to be together. Look around and smile at somebody. Look around and shake their hand. Give them a holy hug and let them know that we're glad to be together in the Lord's house. And so today, let's realize this is the Lord's day. Let's give him the best we've got, and he will bless us without any doubt. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. We're gonna finish our short series of lessons on the miracles of Jesus. And tonight we're gonna look at Jesus and his enemies. There was a miracle that was done for one of Jesus's enemies, and we're going to talk about that. And there's a lot of lessons we can learn about Jesus from this miracle, so I really hope you'll come out and join us for that. Always good to have you online with us. We constantly hear people that are worshiping with us online, probably because they can't get out anymore or for a while or are in transit somewhere, but we're glad you're joining us as well. Let's get our Bibles out. I hope you got your Bible with you, either in print form or electronically. And let's delve into the Word again, because there's just so many good things in here. We can't possibly exhaust it. I can exhaust you, but we can't exhaust the Word of God. It's always got good things. I'll begin by reminiscing just a little bit, and I'll go back to my very earliest years that I remember. And I remember Christmas was a very exciting time. And my family was not rich, neither were we dirt poor. And so there were always gifts for us children. My sister back here can attest to that. Our mother always did a great job of that. And I would just get so excited. I couldn't sleep the night before. I was just thinking, what am I going to get? What am I going to get? But you know, as the years have passed, I don't think about what I'm going to get anymore. I guess because I don't get toys anymore. But you know what? That's not my focus anymore. My focus is I get to be with my family. I get to see my grandsons. I get to give them gifts. And what would you say accounts for that difference in the way I used to feel and the way I feel now? Well, it's called maturity. We mature over time and we realize, like Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive. It's good to be with family, family that loves you, that we love. And those are the things that we enjoy most because we have matured. Well, I want to take you to Colossians chapter 1 now. Colossians chapter 1, this is the passage, a little bit later in the passage that Tom read for us. But let's look at Colossians 1, verse 25, first of all. And here, Paul is telling us something about his ministry. Colossians 1 and verse 25, he said, "Of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known." To make the word of God fully known. Now there's an idea there I think we need to dwell on for a moment, and that is we may know some of the word of God, but do we know it fully? And those of us who have been studying the word of God for a number of years will have to say, I don't think I'll ever fully know it. I'm going to try, and every day I want to delve a little further into the text. I want to gain more than I had the day before. But that's the idea. We're never at a point where we say, okay, I've done it. That's off the list now. No, we never really arrive at that point. But then he goes on and says this in verse 28. If you look just a little bit further in that passage, he says in verse 28, him, talking about Christ, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That we may present everyone mature in Christ. And again, the idea is we've got a ways to go. I know a lot about the Word of God. You may be able to say the same. You may say, well, I'm just beginning. That's okay. As long as we keep going. As long as we stay serious and stay focused. And that's what Paul is saying. Do you want to be mature? Do you really want to understand? And so as we're talking about thankfulness, and that's been the theme of this past week, thankfulness, well, are we thanking God for the best things? Sure, we've focused on food and houses to live in and warm clothes to wear in times of cold weather. We've focused on medical care and transportation. But what about those spiritual gifts? What about the things that really endure beyond this life? And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And I want to take you to Colossians 1 now, and particularly verses 12 through 14. And we're going to notice three life-changing words. Three life-changing words. Now, we could mention a lot of words. We could say, I love you is a life-changing word for a lot of us. Or we could say, God is love. Those are three life-changing words. And for some of you ladies, it may be, let's eat out. That could change life for a lot of people, right? But the three words that Paul mentions in this particular passage truly are life-changing when you really understand what it means. So let's look at this passage again, and I'm going to notice them. At the beginning of each of these words, there's God. At the end of each word is us. Let's look at them. The first of those is the word qualified. Qualified. Again, we're looking at Colossians chapter 1, and we'll read verse 13 in just a moment. When you read that word, look at that word qualified, though, what do you think about? Well, I think, for example, of the Olympics. We have another Summer Olympics coming up next year in Paris, France. And you're going to hear a lot about it, I'm sure, in the weeks to come. And there's tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of people that would love to participate and represent their country. But will they? Will all of those people that desire to represent their country be able to do that? No. I mean, I may say I'm going to represent the U.S. in water polo. Okay, I know, that's a joke. But you have to qualify. You have to go through various trials, stages, competitions, and show that you are among the very best in your nation. And then you qualify in order to represent your nation in the Olympics. Well, here, let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 and see what Paul there says about God and us. Actually, it begins in the latter part of verse 11, where he says, with joy. A lot of scholars say that really ought to be connected with the first words of verse 13, or rather verse 12. With joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. With joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So the idea there is that God qualifies us for something. And we'll talk about that something here in just a moment. Qualified is a word that is translated from hikanoo, and it is defined by Lo and Nita's Greek English lexicon as to cause someone or something to be adequate for something. In other words, without this, I am inadequate. I don't have what it takes. And I could never hope to achieve whatever it is that I hope to achieve. But God has qualified us, and the emphasis here is we don't have what it takes to get this inheritance that God has qualified us for. The Expositor's Bible Commentary makes this comment: in themselves, believers have no fitness for sharing in the heritage of God's people. They can experience this only as God qualifies them for such a privilege. So whatever we're talking about here, the idea is, I have a shot at it. In fact, I have the assurance of it if I follow through, because God qualifies me, because God has participated in my life. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, Paul uses that same Greek word, a form of it at least, in saying this about himself. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9. He says, I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And that word unworthy is translated from the same root word that we have in Colossians 1 as qualified. Paul is saying, I don't deserve to be an apostle. I mean, look at what I did before I became a Christian. I was actively persecuting Christians, trying to stamp out the movement and totally disrupt the church. I didn't deserve it. But Christ put me in this position. He qualified me. And that's the idea that we're talking about ourselves. Now, to look at it more personally, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and this is a very well-known passage. It says more than what a lot of people think it does, but let's just look at what it says. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Paul says, by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And the point there is that I'm saved, and I can say that. And I deserve to be saved. No, I can't say that, because I don't deserve this. It is a gift that God has given to all those who have faith. And faith is more than just believing. It is a total entrusting of our lives to the Lord by obeying him. Whatever it is he asks us to do, we obey the Lord. But it is by grace. And that, you see, is the idea of qualified. He has qualified us, doing something that we could never do ourselves. He took the initiative. And let's go back now to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and look again at verse 12, and let's remind ourselves, what has he qualified us for? Well, he says this, again, verse 12. giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, the Jews understood this terminology. In fact, David Garland, in his comments on this passage, says, after the exile, some Jews used this inheritance language to refer to a divine bequest beyond history and connected it to the resurrection life to come. In other words, they understood it's something more than what we have now. Well, if you're talking about those people that were in Egypt as slaves, God says, I'm going to give you a share in the promised land. And so he brought them out, something they could not have done themselves. He brought them out, and now they each had a share in that land. Here is what Paul is saying to us. We have a share. Do you have a place in heaven? You can. If you decide you're going to follow Jesus faithfully, you will have that place in heaven. But it's because God qualified you and me. We can't do it on our own. So the idea is God qualified us, and therefore that's life-changing. The second word that I find in this passage in Colossians chapter 1 is delivered. Delivered. Again, let's look at Colossians chapter 1, beginning again in verse 12. Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, he has delivered you from the domain of darkness. Delivered. And there again, we're talking about something life-changing. This past Friday, you probably know about the news that's coming out of Gaza, and that is that Hamas, the terrorist group that is located there in Palestine, began releasing hostages, and Israel reciprocated by releasing some of theirs. But the idea was, here are people that were in captivity. They were not free to go as they wished to. They were taken there against their will, and now they are being delivered. Now, not all of them. There's still talks going on, and whether all of them will be delivered, we don't know. But here's the good news. God delivers. And when God delivers, there's a lot more that happens than when man delivers. Well, let's continue to explore this idea. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Now here, Paul is talking about our need to put on the armor of God. Why? I mean, life is peaceful, isn't it? Why do we need armor? Paul says it's not as peaceful as you think. And he gives some examples of that. He says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, so don't judge it by what's going on around you physically. We do wrestle, he says, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. This present darkness against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That sounds almost frightening. Well, guess what? It should be. These are serious adversaries that we're dealing with. And Paul says you need to take everything that God has given you in order to protect yourself and wear it regularly. But we're dealing with dark powers, dark forces. And so again, you see, there's the deliverance. God is able to deliver us from those awesome, awful forces. And if you want an example of what that means, go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 53. I mean, what's the worst that could happen with these dark forces? Well, Jesus tells us. Here he is having prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. They have completed the Passover feast. It's been a very peaceful evening so far. And now here comes a large gathering of soldiers and priests and other enemies of Christ led by Judas. They're there to arrest him. And here's what Jesus says in Luke chapter 22, verse 53. When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. You want to see what darkness looks like in the spiritual realm? Look at Jesus being arrested. Jesus, who had never done anything illegal, He made people mad when he didn't do what they thought he should. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But Jesus was completely righteous. He did wonderful things to help people over and over again. And here is evil, the power of darkness, arresting him, going to beat him all throughout the night. And then when morning comes, he'll be condemned and hung on a cross to die slowly. A terrible death. That's darkness. The power of darkness. And that's Satan's desire for each one of us, is to drag us into his domain of darkness. We don't want to be there. But once we have sinned, we're there. That's where we are. And how can we possibly get loose? Again, quoting from David Garland, he said, "All humans need deliverance from a wasted life of sin and from the cosmic powers that keep them captive in sin." In other words, you and I both, all of us, need this deliverance. And that's what Paul says. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, though, we learn it's not just once. You know, we've done that now. No, Satan is still working on Christians. And Paul makes that clear when he says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, "In their case, the god of this world," that would be Satan, "the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." And even though unbelievers are mentioned here, it can happen with Christians as well. Satan can distract us. Satan can blind us with all the glittery, flashing things of life, and we no longer see the glory of Christ. Don't let it happen, because God wants to deliver us from the domain of darkness. Now, in the case of the deliverance in Gaza that's going on right now, it's a long, protracted thing. I mean, it's taken a few weeks now to get those few released, and there's still negotiations going on, but that's not the way it is with God's deliverance. You remember how God caused the walls of Jericho to just collapse, and then they could just walk right in and take captive anyone they wanted to, destroy whatever needed to be destroyed? God doesn't take long. When he decides, "I'm going to deliver you," he does it immediately. That's life-changing. That's good news. And let's look at that third word in Colossians chapter 1. Third life-changing word, and that is the word transferred. The word transferred. Again, Colossians 1, let's read again, 12 and then 13 as well. "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." He has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And let's think about that for a minute. I mean, again, the hostages that have been released, what now? For some of them, they're going to find, "My family were all killed in that invasion that took place. Or my home has been destroyed. How do I go on from here? I mean, it's great that we've been released in one sense, but now what?" But the now what for Christians is all good. We have a wonderful life ahead of us now. We have the blessings of God so full and complete. That's the blessing of being transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, we learn part of what this means. What does this mean, that I've been transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son? Well, Paul, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, says, "Listen, Christians, do you realize where you're living now?" He says, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret." And you see what that's saying? If I have been transferred into the kingdom of light, what am I doing still participating in dark things, sinful things? That's not who I am anymore. I don't do those things anymore. So I've been transferred, and thus get out. Get out of it completely. And then he goes on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5 and makes it even more explicit. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5 when he says, you are all children of light. That's talking to Christians. Are you a Christian this morning? You are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. And so again, the point is clear. What am I doing living in darkness if I'm a Christian? And what is darkness? Well, read the Bible. The Bible points out those things that are sin. And if the Bible says it's a sin, that's all I need to know. I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to stay out of it because I've been transferred into the kingdom of light. And then the other part of that deliverance is found in verse 14 of Colossians 1. One more time in Colossians chapter 1. Let's go on to complete the thought of having been delivered from the domain of darkness, transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I want that. I need that. That's where it's found. In the kingdom of his Son, I can have that redemption on an ongoing basis. As a Christian, I'm not perfect. I continue to sin, not because I choose to or want to, but because my flesh is weak and my senses are not yet sharp as they should be. But in Christ, I have perpetual cleansing, always being cleansed more and more. And let us never forget that blessing of having redemption came at a great price. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 reminds us of that. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. How is it that God was able to deliver us and to transfer us? Here's what it says. Knowing that you were not ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. There was a ransom paid for your deliverance, Christian. There was a ransom paid. And what was that? Jesus on the cross, suffering, bleeding, giving his life fully so that you might be delivered and transferred. The hostages released on Friday may struggle to stay alive after their release. I can't imagine living in those situations that they're in over there. But those whom God delivers spiritually, they will thrive. They will thrive if they remain faithful to the Lord. He'll provide them with everything they need. So don't worry about that. He's got you covered. Some of you saw the movie Saving Private Ryan. And in this, the scenario is there's four brothers that have been sent off to war in World War II. Three of them have already been killed in action. And so the president hears about this. He orders that this remaining brother be rescued wherever he is. Find this man and bring him back to his mother so she doesn't lose all of them. And the movie, of course, shows what all they went through. And eventually, five of the men in that company that was set up to search for him and rescue him, five of those men are killed in action. And then as the movie closes, the captain, Captain Miller, you know him better as Tom Hanks, he's also mortally wounded. And he charges Private Ryan, earn this. Earn this. That's a lot to put on Private Ryan, isn't it? I mean, how do I atone for the deaths of these men that came looking for me? How can I earn that? I think the idea was live a valiant life, do your very best, uphold the honor of our flag, all those kinds of things. But did Christ charge us with that? Earn this? We can't possibly earn our spiritual deliverance, our qualification, our transference into the kingdom of God. But we can do our best to honor the one who has done all of that for us. And so today I ask you, are you honoring the one who did all of that for you? You may never have thought about it personally. Jesus died for the world. Yeah, I get that. No, Jesus died for you. For you. Whoever you are that's listening right now. Are you honoring him with your life? It begins by obeying the gospel. And it's a simple thing. Christ has done the hard work. You hear the gospel, you believe it, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You make up your mind, I'm going to get out of sin, I'm going to turn away from sin. That's called repentance. I'm going to confess him before others. I'm not ashamed to let people know I believe in him as the Son of God. And today, I will be baptized into Christ so that my sins may be washed away, and I'll be found in newness of life. You can do all of that in a matter of moments. Will you? And if you've done that, have you been faithful? Or do you need to confess, I have sinned? Or I've been weak and I need the prayers of my family here to be strong? Can we help you in any way? We urge you to come as we stand together and sing.
To the cross of Christ. Congratulations. We love you.
Boundless love. Thank you.
The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 9 makes a stark contrast between the Jewish high priest and Christ. The high priest, once each year on the Day of Atonement, entered into the Holy of Holies, there to make sacrifice for himself and for the people. And in doing so, he used the blood of bulls or goats. Christ sacrificed his own blood, and it was a one-time sacrifice, once for all time. Hebrews 9, beginning in verse 25, "Nor was it that Christ should offer himself often, as a high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him." Let's pray before partaking of the bread. Father, we give thanks for this bread we're about to partake of. In it we see the body of Christ, who allowed himself to be placed on the cross, though sinless and perfect in every way, willingly taking on our sins upon himself, so that we might be forgiven. We give you thanks for this, and we pray this in his name. Amen. Let's pray again, this time for the cup. Lord, we thank you for this fruit of the vine. When we see it, we remember Christ's blood shed for us, a willing sacrifice made for sinners by one who was completely righteous. We give you thanks, Father, for the act that Jesus did for us. And as we partake of this, we remember his sacrifice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's also take this opportunity to give thanks for the offering that's being made today. Let's join in prayer. Lord, we again come to you thanking you for your blessings, which never fail to rain down upon us. We are a blessed people, surely, and we give you thanks for this. And as we make our offerings into the church treasury, Lord, we pray that you will be glorified in the way that the funds are used. You will be honored, that much good will come of these offerings, that the kingdom will be strengthened and spread, and in all things that you will be magnified. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Let us again go to God in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful to you for this day, for this time that we've had to come together as a body of your people to worship you, to praise you, to witness the miraculous new birth of a new Christian. We pray that you will be with Leah, help her to grow and develop in the love and faith and in service and dedication to you. We pray you will be with Max, help him to ever be strong in his long-standing faith. Be with Mary Brown and help her through the challenges that she is facing as only you can do. We pray you will be with all of us. Help us to be thankful to you each day for the blessings that you pour down on us each day, for Christ, for his sacrifice, for the salvation that we have through Christ and our obedience to him. Forgive us when we fall short. Guide us each day of our lives so we'll have a home with thee in heaven. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We have a number of announcements, so hopefully you're not too hungry. No. Please pick up the communion cups and throw them away as you leave the auditorium. Next Sunday is the beginning of fall quarter, and there are still a few slots open. Let's say a few opportunities open. In fact, I've just been given this note before worship. We need on Wednesday evening toddler 2 and 3 year olds and pre-K age 4. These are the only opportunities you have left to help in the development of our children. So please either sign up on the bulletin board at the hallway or see Adam Maurer. A meal train for Cassie and David Bearfield and their family has been set up to help while Cassie recovers from major surgery. See the link in Daily Focus for more information or contact Arlene Kellum if you have any questions. On Friday, Evely Claire Booten was baptized into Christ by her father, Jason. Jason is the son of Ann and Doug Booten. He and his family are members at Hillsborough Church of Christ in Nashville. 5 women were baptized into Christ on Saturday morning at the Washington County Detention Center. These have been students in the classes of our church women who volunteer teaching there. Upcoming events, the Digging Deep Ladies Bible Discussion Group will meet tomorrow, Monday, November the 27th at 5 o'clock. The Young Families Christmas Party is on Sunday, December 10th from 4 to 6. Families are asked to bring a snack to share and an unwrapped toy to donate. At least 7 volunteers are needed. Please see Josh or Renee if you can help. The ladies' ornament exchange will be December the 10th following the evening worship in the old foyer. Please bring a Christmas ornament valued at no more than $10. Rita Phelps is in need of someone to help with detailing vintage accessories, and as well as helping sort some paperwork and then filing it. This is a paid position. If you'd like more information, text Rita. And the Shining Light materials that have been collected for the children in need are due next Sunday, December 3rd. Be sure, if you picked up one of the packets, to have them in by next Sunday, December the 3rd. If you have questions, just contact Billy Miller or Sherry Pierce. We want to thank all the people who were involved in the distribution of the Thanksgiving bags, and particularly to the young people who were involved in getting out on a rather messy day and helping with the bags distribution. Remember these in prayer. Carden Fleener, older son of Sydney and Matt Fleener, is scheduled to undergo a tonsillectomy on Monday morning. Sydney writes, we would appreciate prayers from the congregation. Peggy Morton, mother-in-law of Ray Oxdine, is at Johnson City Medical Center recovering from a severe case of COVID-19. Ray, as a neighbor of Jean Arrowood, has worshiped with us in the past several weeks, and he himself is recovering from COVID, though his case is not as severe. Jonathan French has learned that a screw in his ankle is working its way out. Surgery has been set for December the 8th to put in a new screw, as well as lengthen the soft tissue to increase his range of motion. Bit Keys, a longtime member of Pleasant View Church of Christ, is scheduled to undergo hip replacement surgery on November the 27th, that's tomorrow. Pat Yokley, now a member of Pleasant View Church, asks that we pray that all things go well. Again, we're thankful for those who responded this morning, for Leah and beginning her new life. Have a blessed day. We have a lot to be thankful for. You are